a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Welcome to the second to last week press conference. I think we'll start out a little bit. Obviously, the big topic of the week was the Medicaid or lack thereof expansion. And I think I'll just I'll give an overview, and then you guys obviously have some time for questions at the end. But you know, it was kind of a week. I guess it dribbled into late last week when we first heard a word or maybe rumor that in response to the governor's letter to Secretary Sebelius, that they were actually interested in working with us on covering those folks under 100% of poverty. And it's important to note again that those folks 100 to 138% of poverty are or can be covered through the federal exchange at an extremely subsidized rate, to the point of, I think I just heard one case, 74 cents a month out of their pocket cost. So it just involves people going to healthcare.gov and signing up for their insurance. Again, that's 100 to 138% of poverty. And that really was the genesis of where we were coming from with a common sense solution to be thoughtful and cover those folks under 100% of poverty and below. And long story short, during the conference call, which actually was fairly cordial with the folks from D.C. and from the region office in Denver, it became apparent that they were not willing to bend. They kept saying flexible. I heard flexible many times in their plan, but not flexible to what we had offered up as at least a starting point. And certainly we would have been willing to, I think, have some discussions about options for those folks under 100% of poverty. Initially, our concept was cover those folks, the working poor. That's who we're looking at, really focusing on those adults that are just struggling to make it and obviously have no capacity to get health insurance. And it became apparent that they were unwilling to do that. They were really stuck on 138 and below. In other words, a full expansion, which we had said was not on the table. So we were able to compromise. We felt from zero to 100, and thought it would be fair that they could at least look at some options, as they have done in many other states. And of course, they're putting off mandates on a regular basis for other folks, and thought that they could step up to the plate and try and help cover those folks 100% and below. And they were unwilling to do that. So that was really in a nutshell. It was kind of, we were upbeat about it early in the week, and then it kind of collapsed pretty fast yesterday. And so, or I'm sorry, 2 days ago. And so with that, I guess I'll turn it over to Senator Peters, Chair of Appropriations on the Senate side, and she can visit a little bit about the process of kind of how we're going to get from where we are today till the end of next week.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Leader. Starting, we're wrapping up bills in both the House and the Senate for bill hearings in the appropriations process. With the bill, last bill hearings in appropriations will be on Monday, so that'll be the final bill date that any bill can come out of any committee. Part of the process next week, we're going to hear revenue estimates at 8 a.m. on Monday morning. We will adopt them either Monday afternoon after session or Tuesday morning the first thing, depending on the timing of session on Monday. It depends on how long session runs on Monday. Obviously, we don't want to be adopting revenue numbers in the middle of the night on Monday night. So we'll do it first thing either during business hours on Monday or first thing Tuesday morning, depending on timing of how that works. So revenue numbers will be in on Monday. Amendments to the general bill are we're having all of the amendments to the general bill Monday by 5 p.m. That way we can get the packets put together, get the amendments drafted, and have the packet of amendments published Wednesday morning. So we have a good 24 to 48 hours of amendments out, publicized for public review. And then we're hoping to begin running general bill amendments either Thursday afternoon or Friday first thing in the morning, obviously depending on which spending bills are still out there. We still have quite a few that are out there in conference committee. Conference committees are Tuesday and Wednesday, or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Conference committee days are reserved, so hopefully we can get a lot of the spending bills done in conference on Wednesday so we can start opening up the general bill on Thursday. So that's kind of the wrap-up week and a review for next week, and hopefully we can have the general bill wrapped up Friday afternoon.
Fred Bromkema, Chair of the House Appropriations. I believe the process has been summed up very nicely. I would comment that the the process. I believe we had 55 bills. We're hearing our last one as we speak, the railroad bill. We've heard a lot of compelling testimony regarding lots of very worthwhile projects. I believe the challenge will be the funding, and we will be able to determine that status on Monday. Preliminary estimates are, I won't say sobering, but it's premature to make estimates as to what we're going to be funding at this point. The budget is highly dependent on the unclaimed property, and those numbers are in flux at this time.
So I think with that, well, let's just open up for questions. I think there'll be a few, and we'll have some dialogue.
Senator Rave, you mentioned, you talked about how the negotiations basically collapsed on Medicaid expansion. What do you see happening from here on out? Will you still keep looking at something to do, or is it just over?
Well, I think a lot of that, Chet, depends upon what the federal government wants to do. It's really in their court right now. Like I had stated previously, we feel that we compromised quite a bit coming from 0 to 100, and are very willing to have some open and honest dialogue about covering those folks that just have no other option. Again, it's just, I cannot stress it enough, those folks from 100 to 138% can get on the federal website and get insurance at an extremely subsidized rate, and we strongly encourage folks to do that. And I understand why the federal government is reluctant to do that, because they're basically paying for a premium versus putting them on Medicaid, which would be probably cheaper for them. But that's not the way the law was written. Well, it actually was written both ways, to be honest. We really want to address those folks that are the most needy, and that would be the 100% and under folks. And so they were, although it was cordial, they were left with a keen awareness of our stance and understanding of our position, to the point where they know that we are still willing to have that discussion. So I guess, Chet, to answer your question directly, I'm hopeful that they'll have some ongoing dialogue amongst themselves about looking at opportunities to work with us as they have in other states. Obviously not to the level of 100%, but I think at this point that's a fair discussion for them to have. So I would encourage them to be thoughtful about that as we move forward. And obviously nothing's going to happen in the next week or two as session winds down. That's evident. But I think it's not out of the realm of possibility as we progress into early spring here that they could possibly, say, oh gosh, maybe we ought to relook at that, and those guys are willing to work with us. Let's sit down and actually have some open dialogue about it.
Would that delay anything until the next legislative session, or could it be done in the interim?
No, I think that's a great question, Chet. No, certainly if they come back to us and said, hey, I guess you guys are pretty solid on your 100 and under, and you really want to help those most needy folks, we're willing to work with you. If the right package came together, Chet, we'd get a special session if that's what it took to get it to happen. I think logistically the governor would like to have the legislative support, although I think in the right situation he wouldn't necessarily have to have it to implement it. But knowing the governor the way I do, he wants to be very palms up about it, and I think he'd want to have a special session so that everybody was on the same page and we moved ahead. So again, if the right package was brought forward and a compromise was met, I certainly see no reason we wouldn't call a special session. And I mean, literally, it's a one-day process to come in and you have things hammered out on the front end, and we can move ahead.
She has a question over there.
Cassie Berla, SDPB. I guess my question was just, you keep talking about helping the working poor and things like that, but without our waiver being granted and those people not meeting the subsidized requirements, who are those that will fall in the gap then that won't be able to get help for their coverage?
Well, it's important to remember we didn't actually apply for the waiver. We sent a letter. And so the letter was just to kind of inquire on whether we were going to be able to, if they would even look at a waiver if we were to cover the working poor that make 100% or less. And as far as those folks that fall in the gap, that is the folks. There is absolutely no program at the federal level that covers 0 to 100%. So we were trying to meet the federal government halfway. They could have come down from 138 down to 100. We went from 0 to 100%, but they couldn't come down. So we're going to continue talking with them. Obviously, we're not going to slam the door shut. But it's important to note that the folks that have absolutely no coverage today is the folks that are working 100% and less.
I think, Cassie, just to expand on that a little bit, you know, certainly there are people that choose to not have insurance, and that probably is because of financial situations. So those folks are in that coverage gap. And it's important to remember that Medicaid today does not cover those folks. I mean, that's never been an option for a working adult period that chooses not to have insurance, whether that's financial or otherwise, that Medicaid does not cover those folks. We would have to make some changes anyway to cover those folks today, regardless. We cover obviously children, disabled folks, and the elderly. That's basically the Medicaid population. So,
Nate with SDPB, I guess this question would be for all three of you, but what are some bills or different types of legislation that have been maybe a more positive this year or been a win that you guys feel? I know the Democrats had mentioned a couple things that they felt were positive things that they could take out of this session. What are some things that the Republicans see as wins?
Sure. Well, I'll start and toss it down to these guys. We aren't to the finish line yet, Nate, obviously, but I think a win is, finding the money for 3% for education for providers and for state workers, and I don't really see those three big items. That's what I consider the big three, and I don't see those changing to the end here. I mean, we'll figure out a way to make that happen. So to me, that was a win regardless. I mean, everybody and Deb and Fred can certainly talk about some of the wins that they saw, but for me, that was coming in from where it was awful gloomy in October and seeing this as kind of the proposal, and then after Senator Peters and Representative Rampkema ran through the budget, and we're still at that point where those things are all going to work out. So to me, that was probably the biggest win for everybody this session, and I'll certainly toss it over to them and let them talk about other wins.
Well, thank you, Leader Rave. A lot of the wins, obviously, as Leader Rave said, the 3% for education, the 3% for providers, and getting state employees a 3% after meeting with the governor preliminary on the budget at the 1.6 was kind of humbling a little bit and kind of made it really difficult to take. Having that the governor come in and pitch the 3%, I think, is a huge win for everybody. Some of the other issues that are out there for funding as what I would consider wins, we're still not done negotiating. Railroads, we've got the bridge, we've got additional railroads out going west, we've got technical institutes in play, Board of Regents in play, and that's just to name just a couple, but we've got a lot of things still going out there, and depending on where revenue numbers fall, some things might have to be pushed from the 15 budget into the 14 budget because we know where the money's at in 14. 15, we're still a little unsure. The revenue numbers are not coming in as high as we were hoping. We're still working through some of the fine-tuning. Obviously, we'll get those final numbers on Monday of where all of the economists project those numbers. So we'll have some fine-tuning of what real wins will be after Monday.
I believe there's a theme here today, and that's education. I chime in with higher education. You've heard previously that we addressed to the extent we could, the K-12, the 3%, and the providers. And we're taking a look at the technical schools. And there are also projects. Some are in play. Some are in the governor's budget with higher education. So I think those would be the wins. The railroad's in play. It's before House appropriations as we speak. I think that's pretty exciting. So I think education is a theme, I would have to say, based on what we're seeing so far. However, I want to caution there are several items still in play. Mm-hmm. Several have a dollar on them, and it's part of the process. And we go through to next Friday, we'll all know how this is all going to come out. But
Are there any outside callers?
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I get a question. You've been talking about education and higher education. The governor had basically proposed a tuition freeze on state universities. Is that still in play, or is that pretty much a certain thing?
No, it's very much in play. There's that $1.9 million bill that actually has my name as a prime, but it's not necessarily my, didn't originate with me, but that is the gap to fill their health insurance need. And if we don't do something, their tuition will go up. I mean, that's just unfortunately going to be the case. Now, obviously, with all the other things that we've done, it will be a smaller increase than would have normally taken place, but all things being equal, if we don't find that extra, basically $2 million, there will be a tuition increase. But as Fred said, that's what's all in play yet. I mean, we got to figure out where the revenues are, where the one-time monies are, as we draw a close here to the budget, and as some of the bills either pass or die here, we'll be able to firm that up a little bit better here in the next week. So, Nate, Cassie, anything? Okay. Well, thank you, guys. We'll see you next Friday morning, and then we'll obviously have some more firm details then. But you guys have a good week, and we'll see you soon.